Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Fastlane Sports Nation. Welcome to Saturday afternoon here live at Wayne County Speedway. We have an awesome special edition show for you today. We are live at Wayne County Speedway because the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars are here, and they will be racing on this 3/8 dirt oval track here in beautiful historic Orrville in Wayne County, Ohio. And we are coming to you live today with all the action. And of course, as always, my awesome co-host every Saturday, usually in the morning, but today it's this afternoon. Christina will be here with me. We'll do a little talking dirty. We've got some updates for you from the All-Stars and the World of Outlaws. So keep it tuned right here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Let's go! Don't get down.
the 357 Woodwork Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fast Lane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Ultralight Railway Brake Sticks and only on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Guess what? It's the weekend! Lane Sports Show. Hello, everyone. How you doing? Christina, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. My microphone must be working then. So good afternoon, Christina, and welcome to Saturday afternoon. And guess what? We are live at Wayne County Speedway. We are in one of the beautiful loges that they've built in the last couple years here. At the top of the grandstands, we're right at just about start-finish line, Christina. And guess what? The World of Outlaws sprint cars are here today.
I know it's been a long time coming, the return of the Outlaws back to Wayne County. So I'm excited for everyone that's there. Unfortunately, I can't be there. And weather permitting is me staying on the how long I stay on the show today as well.
Yeah, you got a little bit of rain coming, I hear, coming out of Bermuda down there in the Atlantic coast. I seen you you were in the text messages earlier. You said it was raining a little bit, and then it kind of stopped. What are we looking at weather-wise for you right now? How you guys doing?
It's okay. The winds are here, which is, you know, it's not uncommon. The hurricane is still in the Bahamas, and as of right now, we're just in a tropical storm warning. Where I live now, where I live versus 2 hours north of us, 2 hours north of us are in a hurricane warning zone. So that's kind of where we're at. We're to be getting rain for the next several hours off and on, and I mean, that's no shock. It is hurricane season. This is the first one. Anywhere remotely near us. So, yeah, we live with it. It rains for a while, then it gets warm and sunny, and then the winds come back, and it'll rain here in probably about the next hour or so. We'll probably see some more rain.
Well, I'm glad that you're able to join us now. You know, usually everybody who's listening, they usually tune in at 9 a.m. for our two-hour show, but because we are here at Wayne County Speedway. We pushed it back to 2 p.m. We just got here. They just opened the pit gate to let the car haulers in. The World of Outlaw haulers are out there. They were obviously first in line. I believe they were here last night starting to get some stuff set up. But, yeah, the World of Outlaws NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars have returned to Wayne County. Christina, it's been the last time that they were here in Wayne County at this speedway was 1985. So it's been, what is that, 25 years, 35 years. It's been 35 years since the World of Outlaws have come to Wayne County Speedway, and it's kind of a return home race for one particular driver who will be here tonight. I've already seen some of his fans walking around with his merch on, and that would be young Mr. Sheldon Houdenshield, who got his first win just a few weeks ago or a week or so ago at one of the races there. Mr. Young Sheldon Houdenshield will be here racing tonight. He's from this area. He's from Worcester. His family has ran at this track for many, many years, and he's back tonight. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting, and I'm hoping the skies have kind of cleared out a little bit. There's some clouds. There was some rain earlier, but they're out working the track right now. But I'm hoping it's I checked the radar. It's kind of cleared out a little bit. There's some spotty rain here and there, but I'm hoping it holds out and that we get the racing in tonight. It's going to be fun and exciting.
Yeah, I mean, their return is longer than I've been alive. So, you know, no, it's exciting to see. It's cool to see, you know, Sheldon come home and see what he can do here. I remember all of the Houdenshields were pretty good there when we were all there. So it's a great night for racing. Hopefully the rain you guys have is gone and doesn't return, and you get to see some good racing.
Yeah, me too. It's always the World of Outlaws always put on a good show, no matter what track they're at. So I'm excited to be here. This, Christine, I know you cringed last week when I said it because I could see it through the radio. But this is my first World of Outlaws event, and I wouldn't want it to be at any other track than our home track, the show, my home track, which is Wayne County Speedway, and I'm excited to be here. I can't wait to get the show going. It's going to be fun and exciting, and there's going to be some big names coming through here, obviously names like Brad Sweet, Logan Shuhart, obviously Sheldon Houdenshield will be here, but I'm hoping that Kyle Larson is here tonight. I know he ran last night again, Christina. He has won again another All-Star Circuit of Champions race, and he won last night at I-34 Speedway. The kid is on fire. He's gonna be a big-time driver one day.
It also was his birthday, so, you know, that was his birthday gift to himself, was winning last night. So, you know, him and his wife, actually, their birthdays aren't that far off from each other. So that was kind of cool, you know. So, no, he won on his birthday. I'm not shocked by that, but, I mean, I'm not sure where he's going to race, considering he raced with the All-Stars last night, and the All-Stars are at Knoxville tonight. So that's not close to Ohio. So we'll see. I'm not sure where he decided to go, but we're all going to be shocked at the same time.
Yeah. I'm hoping he shows up tonight here, though, because tonight is $10,000 to win here at Wayne County Speedway for the regular World of Outlaws show. You mentioned that the All-Stars are in Knoxville. That's $5,000 to win tonight. They are at Knoxville Raceway there in Iowa, which they were just at I-34 Raceway last night, like we said, which is also in Iowa. So, yeah, that's pretty far away from Ohio with him winning last night. I really, you know, when I saw that he won last night, it kind of diminished my hopes that he'd be here tonight, because I'm not sure. Like you said, Knoxville too is one of those tracks that a lot of sprint car drivers love to run at. Yeah, I don't know. I hope he shows up though. That would be awesome to see him here. But, yeah, like you said, chances are probably pretty slim. But, you know, you never know. He might be chasing that money And 10,000 to win is a lot more than five.
Well, yeah, and he's not, has zero allegiance with any racing series either. So, I mean, he's not running for a championship anywhere. He, you know, it's beyond where he could. Well, you know, he still can. But either way, I think he's all about the money and the trophy, because he's got some pretty cool ones now, especially the ones that came from Port Royal. Those are pretty cool trophies.
Yeah, let's keep talking about Kyle Larson, because with his win last night in the All-Stars, we'll go ahead and just talk about the All-Stars for now, because quite frankly, we're going to be talking about the World of Outlaws all night. So we'll get the All-Stars. We'll give them their radio airtime now. Last night gives him 11 wins now on the year for the All-Stars. And like you said, he's not really racing with any one series because he's not really running for a championship. So I seen somebody on Twitter the other day pretty much summed up he's running a true outlaw, the nostalgic version of an outlaw sprint car driver, because he's running wherever he wants. And basically winning wherever he runs, but he has no allegiance to anybody, just that number 57 sprint car. And, he's running just a hectic schedule wherever he wants. And, Christina, you've been following this dirt racing a lot longer than I have, but, I believe that is the old term of what an outlaw really was, back in the day, where they would just show up at any racetrack. They didn't have really a home track or a home series, and they'd run everywhere. That's basically what Kyle Larson's doing right now.
Oh, yeah, that's the definition of an all-star. I mean, not an all-star, of an outlaw. That's exactly what an outlaw is. Look at Stevie Smith, who a lot of folks know who Stevie Smith is, and the simple fact is he's not from Pennsylvania, but he ran an outlaw schedule, ran in PA and everywhere else. He's from the Midwest, so I mean, he's an outlaw. He did the true outlaw schedule too for a while, so I mean, that's exactly what it is. So he is the one and only real outlaw out there running right now.
Yeah, and so speaking of the All-Stars, we'll talk about them. Kyle Larson has won 7 of the last 8 All-Star races. Like I said, that gives him 11 wins on the year. And if you look at the All-Star point standings, Christina, he's moved up to 9th now with 11 wins. He's ran 15 races. He's ran 15 features with the All-Stars, and he's won 11 of them now in 2020. He sits 9th in the points. So right now, as it stands, I mean, he's got a huge gap between him and Aaron Rutsell. Which I don't see him, because he's running this outlaw type of schedule, I don't see him really catching Aaron for a championship. So Aaron's probably not worried about that. Sure, I'm sure Aaron wants to win more than Kyle Larson because of the points and the money, obviously. But I don't think Aaron's worried about Kyle Larson winning a championship. But, yeah, Kyle Larson's won 11 races with the All-Stars, 7 of the last 8, and he's won 6 in a row now. So he's really on fire. He won at Plymouth on the 30th, which was Thursday. He won that $26,000 to win Race Rudine Foundation race there at Plymouth Dirt Track in Wisconsin. He won that and then went down to 34 Raceway in Iowa and won that one last night. So he's got 2 wins in a row now. Fire, but you know, you can't really say anything bad about Aaron Rutsell. He won, you know, it's been a while since he's been in victory lane, back July 5th at Fremont. But he does have a pretty good lead on Corey Eliason right now, who is 2nd in points. He's got a 114 point gap, and Aaron has 5 wins on the year. So, I'm sure Aaron's probably in the same boat you and I are, Christina. He's probably hoping, I hope Kyle went to Wayne County tonight, because I don't want to see him at Knoxville.
Yeah, he's probably thinking, man, I really need to, you know, extend my points lead, and it's not working out the way he hoped. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But no, he's doing good. You know, getting those wins early for Aaron helps. especially if you look at the points now and everything, and you know, Kyle Larson stealing all these wins away with everybody else. So, you know, from everyone. But no, we'll see how it works out, and we'll. I mean, we don't know where he's going ever anymore because he deleted his social media. So,
right.
You know, yeah. Thanks to everybody heckling him and, you know, being who they are. But you know, whatever. It is what it is. But
it is.
Can't win. Can't win them all.
Right. Well, I don't know. Kyle Larson does. Taking a look at the All-Stars schedule here, they're actually going to be making a big Pennsylvania swing here pretty soon. They've got Knoxville tonight. They've got Huset Speedway in South Dakota tomorrow night, and then they take a few weeks off. They go to I-96 Speedway in Michigan, as long as it doesn't get canceled or anything. Then they go back down to Plymouth Speedway in Indiana. Boy, there's a lot of Plymouth Speedways on this schedule for the All-Stars. So after the race Sunday in South Dakota, they take a pretty big break. They come back on the 21st of August. 21st and 22nd, they'll be in Indiana. Then they're going to take the rest of that week off, Christine, and then they're swinging through your part, your old stomping grounds there in PA for four nights in a row. They're going to go to Grandview Speedway in Bexville, PA, and then they're going to hit Williams Grove, Lincoln, and Bedford Speedway there in PA. So they're going to take a little mini Pennsylvania swing, and then the beginning of September, they'll come back to Attica for a two-night weekend, Wayne County on the 6th of September, which is an annual thing for the All-Stars. Every year around Labor Day, they come to Wayne County Speedway, and they have the Pete Jacobs Memorial, which is $13,000 to win. Now, after that, Christina, they go back to Pennsylvania and do another PA swing where they'll do a three-night weekend at Port Royal. And on that third night, it's $53,000 to win. And then they hit Williams Grove Lincoln Speedway again. And that's getting close to the end of their schedule. But that's a pretty big PA swing for the All-Stars to be hitting that part of central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and the whole September is the other month of money. You know, July, I always say July is one of the big months for money, but till September, because right after Wayne County, those three nights at Port Royal Speedway is usually the fair week up home. God, I love that fair. It's the Juniata County Fair. That's usually what happens now. Mind you, I don't know if that's happening this year. I doubt it. But and it is the Tuscarora 50 weekend is the 11th and 12th. And that's why it's $53,000 to win. It's gone up now to match, you know, the annual running. So this year will be the 53rd annual Tuscarora 50, being $53,000 to win. So that's great. And like you said, then after that, they're going to the Williams Grove because it's a Dirt Classic qualifier. And the next night is the Dirt Classic. Now, mind you, I think a lot of people forget the Dirt Classic was created by Casey King.
Just, wow.
You know, giving everybody a little lesson in dirt racing. Casey King is one of the people that came up with the Dirt Classic. It's replaced a couple of the races that he used to fund and run as well. But the Dirt Classic is what it is now. And that's going to be a big event, not just for the All-Stars, but just imagine, I'm not sure. I don't know if they're where the Outlaws are going to be that night, but you could see some Outlaw guys partake in that as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. But I love when the All-Stars come to town, especially if you can circle that whole beginning 2-3 weeks of September. If you have vacation, take it, because going to see Attica, Wayne County, and Port Royal, and then, you know, following week at the Grove and Lincoln. Those are some great races to be a part of. I've been a part of all those. I've seen them all except for the one at Wayne County. You know, it's great. And you know, we went to Wayne County. It was a normal night, but the racing there is always good as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, and then the All-Stars, they will wrap up the schedule that they have online right now, and you can go to the All-Stars, I think it's ASCOC.com. But the last scheduled race of the season for them is September 26th. They'll finish at Eldora Speedway. Of course, a lot of connections there with Tony Stewart, as he has part of Eldora Speedway, part of the All-Star Series. He owns a lot of that. So they will finish up their season, their points season, at Eldora Speedway on September 26th for the Four Crown Nationals. It's $5,000 to win. So that is definitely, like you said, a lot of dates. Hopefully, as long as Ohio and the rest of the country.
Well, yeah, because let's be honest, Eldora's gotten screwed over. They lost every big race that was supposed to be happening at Eldora this year has been canceled. And, I mean, I'm hoping Four Crown National doesn't get canceled because it's one of the biggest sprint car events of the year. But I don't know. You guys, Ohio's killing in Eldora. you're leaders over there, but we'll see.
Yeah, it is crazy. That's just like, I feel bad for Attica, kind of. You know, the All-Star or the World of Outlaws was supposed to be at Attica, but they're having issues now. I believe they ran a regular weekend night for them last night. But the World of Outlaws is supposed to be at Attica this weekend, and they said that they said no, we can't do it, and they told the World of Outlaws, hey, you know, our partner track, our sister track, a track that we get along with, is Wayne County Speedway. Why don't you head down there and run? Which was pretty cool of Attica. I commend them for that. You know, to give up a big show like the World of Outlaws to another track, but. For those that don't know, the Attica Speedway and Wayne County Speedway, they have a little points battle that they do every year with, I believe it's with the late models. They have a competition every year, and then they have, towards the end of the year, they do a points off at one of the tracks for the drivers to, you know, win the overall series between the two racetracks. So those two tracks have a little history, but because of circumstances that I'm not exactly sure of, the World of Outlaws are here tonight, but so that should be fun. But before we get off the All-Stars, we'll look at the points right now as they stand tonight. Aaron Rutzel is in the lead with those five wins. He's got a 114-point gap over Corey Eliason. Paul McMahon is in third, and neither one of those drivers, Corey or Paul, have a win yet. Zeb Wise, he's in fourth in points, and Josh Bowman's in fifth. Those drivers don't have wins on the year. Between Aaron and Kyle, these other drivers are starving for wins, but it's not to say they haven't been contending. Corey Eliason has 13 top fives so far on the year, and I think that's what's helping keep him so close to Aaron in the points battle right now. 26 races for both of those drivers, and Corey's got 17 top 10s and 13 top 5s. He's just missing that final podium, which is first place. So I'm sure Corey will be there before the end of the year and get a win. He's a pretty good all-star driver there in that series.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to break through at some point. It might be tonight, and I hope it closes up the points battle. I'd like to see that points battle get a lot closer, especially with the way the year's been going. So we'll see. It's going to be extremely interesting to see how it happens.
Yes, it will. All right, everybody, this is the Fast Lane Sports Show. We are coming to you live from Wayne County Speedway right now. We're up in one of these beautiful loges that Jason spent some money on to make a little bit better of an experience for some fans, maybe some fans that are new to dirt racing. Dirt racing can get a little dusty. It can get a little dirty. So there's some fans that, you know, might not enjoy that too much, but they want to get a taste of the dirt racing. So he built three loges here at the top of the grandstands. They're nice air-conditioned loges. We're in one of them. So if you ever come out and you want to maybe sit in an air-conditioned loge in the middle of summer, you can rent one of these for a race weekend. But we are here. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Ultralight Railway Brake Sticks. Christina, we're going to take a quick 60-second break. On the other side, we will be joined by our intern, John. We'll get a breakdown from him, a rundown of the Premier League Lacrosse Pick'em's expert standings that are going on right now with that tournament that they're doing out west. I believe it's in Utah. Utah. Okay. So we're going to get a breakdown from John on that, see where we all stand in the point standings, see what's coming up this weekend, how things are looking. And then we'll talk a little more, Christina. You stand by because we're going to talk a little more about the World of Outlaws and some other stuff. And hopefully, maybe Matty Ice will join us. I know he is on his way to Blanket Hill to do some more work there this weekend. So hopefully he can join us and we'll get in touch with him. But for right now, we'll take a quick 60-second break. Keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
.357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at .357 Woodworks. .357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at .357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at .357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
All right, we are back on the Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you live from Wayne County Speedway. The World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars are here. The haulers are pulling into the pits. I'm looking out the back of our mobile 357 Woodwork Studios, and they are making their way in. It is only 2:30. If you plan on coming to tonight's event, I believe the gates don't open till 3 or 4. The pits open at 3 o'clock as well, I believe. So if you're looking to come in, get a pit pass or just maybe get some general admission, check the Wayne County Speedway website and Twitter and Facebook. But I believe it's 3 or 4 o'clock that the gates officially open. But there are a few people in here. I believe they're people from the pits. But they are working the track, getting it ready for the World of Outlaws Sprint Cars to race tonight. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be a great night. Hopefully the weather holds out. I'm getting a text message from a friend of mine that says the Weather Channel says 100% chance of rain. Hopefully they're wrong. I know the weather people are never wrong. They're always correct. They never get any forecasts wrong. Hopefully they are wrong tonight and we get some racing in. We are now joined by our intern, John. John, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a game day here, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Usually we are on in the mornings. I know I cramped everybody's schedule today by coming on at 2 o'clock this afternoon, but I had a few things to do this morning before I came to the Speedway. So I wanted to do a live show though, from here, from one of these beautiful loges that Jason built. And so that's why we pushed it back to 2 o'clock. So thank you for kind of adjusting your schedule to come on at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Are you ready for your game tonight? Are you prepared? Are you mentally prepared and ready to kick some ass?
I will be. I mean, once I get past this, I mean, I'm probably more mentally prepared, but I'll be fine. It's the last game that I'll probably play for all of 2020. I mean, we don't have any scrimmages now up at Teal. We just have regular practices that we know of. So, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, this is the last game of 2020 for me.
Well, that's both bittersweet. It's sad, but it's exciting. I'm sure that you've enjoyed the experience of getting to play in that league and kind of keeping you on your mental edge of your game. Because let's be honest, what, next spring you're going to be playing college lacrosse, and it's going to be, I'm sure, quite different than high school.
Yeah, definitely be more serious. I mean, contrary to the usual games around here where lacrosse is kind of a fledgling sport, I mean, it's not as serious. And that's not in the respect of the players take it seriously. It's in the respect of just how it's treated by schools and treated by just because of what it's like. But, I mean, that will certainly be a adjustment for me to get to the more serious side of lacrosse.
Well, before we get to how the Premier League is looking, I think what we're going to do is we're going to bring on somebody who hasn't been on the show in weeks. I think he's avoiding us. I don't think he really likes us.
Yeah, he can
us,
just shut up. That'd be a great thing he could do.
We are joined now by Mr. Matty Ice. Hello, Matt.
What up, though?
Are you on your way to Blanket Hill?
I am. I've got to make a pit stop on the way there.
Well, that's good. They are racing, though, tonight?
I believe so. I never got a text that it was canceled. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Fan appreciation night, $5 night, $5 general admission night, $30 pit pass. We're going to have kids' bike races, which I'm going to dominate. I have my bike.
I don't doubt that. Oh,
jeez. And
he brought his pedal bike, actually, by mistake.
It is a pedal bike. It's a pedal
it's
bike.
It's got training wheels. Matt, before we leave,
it's actually a tricycle.
I know you only got a few minutes to talk to us because you are driving, but how was it last night announcing at Lernerville Speedway?
Oh, it was not only did I announce the sprint race, I was up until the heat races started, I was their social media guy. So everything up until the hot laps and the heat races, that was me on their social media. I had access to their Twitter. But the announcing was really neat. Blanket Hill kind of prepared me for that, so I honestly wasn't nervous for the announcing part because, you know, I talk on a podcast and a radio show, and I've done practice at Lernerville when I announced the mod race a couple weeks ago. So the thing that I was more nervous for last night was running their social media, and that's my most, like, naturally gifted thing. If I'm good at social media, I'm good with people. But I was more nervous for that than I was the announcing, just because I know they do things a little bit differently. I made a few typos, and I felt bad. I know that everyone does. I wish Twitter would put a damn edit button.
I'm sure it'll come.
Because Twitter put a couple weeks ago, they put the Twitter main account. They said you'll get an edit button when everyone wears a mask. I was like, it looks like we're never going to get one. So,
hey, Matt. I'm sure AJ probably wants you to announce at Lernerville more often. It seems like you brought him some good luck.
Well, it's kind of my partner. His grandfather was a legendary announcer there and at a few local racetracks, and he has a velvety smooth voice. And AJ's dad and AJ, they love Billy. And the way it was planned was Billy was going to do all three of the other interviews, and I was going to do the whole entire sprint show. And I told Mark that, AJ's dad, and AJ and his dad were like, we want Billy to interview AJ and Victor Lane if he wins. I was like, nope, not going to happen, dude. But we had some fun with it. AJ said he had a lot of fun. I talked to him after. I do believe in fate, but this is such a small thing. But it was kind of funny that once I saw how the track was last night, once I saw him dominate his heat race, and I knew I was announcing the sprint, and he hasn't won there all year, I was like, it'd be kind of funny, or kind of what a coincidence this would be if he actually won, I got to interview him.
Well, that was pretty awesome to see AJ back in victory lane, though.
I was most nervous about actually doing the interview because I have never given an interview in any aspect of life, and my arm was shaking the whole time. And I know Pete broke, so he didn't watch it on LearnerVille.tv, but if you did watch it on LearnerVille.tv, you could see me. When I asked him his first question, I kept the microphone in my mouth, and AJ had to bring the microphone towards him and start laughing.
That's
Matt,
funny.
How have you not done an interview?
I've never done an interview in person. My podcast is all – well, I take that back. I interviewed Steve Post from Wing Nation last year at Learnerville, but it was just him and me alone one-on-one. There was no crowd or anything.
Now, did you stay after and do their podcast with them after the show?
I did. I should have called you because I didn't know how to set it up. Like, I'm not good with the technical stuff. Like, Billy's my podcast guy. Billy wasn't able to stay, so I essentially was their producer. I didn't know how to cut and splice anything, but their show is recorded. It's just waiting to be produced.
Well, that'll be fun to listen back to and hear how that went. So, what are we looking at tonight?
By the way,
yeah, go ahead.
How does it feel? How does it feel to be dead last in our thing that I don't even know about?
You know, we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. We're going to bring John on, and I'm very suspicious about this whole point thing. I don't know. This is weird.
Well, first of all, I'm skeptical because there is no way that I don't even want to know. But there's I want to know how my Bulldogs are doing because I should have picked them regardless. But B, there is no way in any type of scoring for any type of sport for any type of human being that you can play three games and one team has 34 points and one team has -6. Like,
well, it's,
oh yeah,
me.
It's possible. It's possible.
Okay, John.
Well, no, let me explain it to you since you're so butthurt about it. Let me explain it to you.
I'll show you butthurt, John. All right, tell me.
I'm not scared of you at all, Matt.
But anyways,
dude,
you should
be in the breaststroke and the backstroke. I will eat you alive.
All right. Anyways. The whole group stage is based off of how many wins you have and what your goal differential is by how much you beat the crap out of teams. So if your team has -6 points, it means your team sucks because they can't score and stay in a game.
You're the one that said my team, you are going to pick my team, and there's no way I'm in third place.
Well let's have John.
If you would
have
taken the
Dogs,
if you would have taken your – Water Dogs team, you've been much worse off. At least this team that you picked, the Redwoods, actually win some games.
So,
right,
John,
so
what
do you... Hold on. Let me kind of compliment John. So I actually tried to watch one game. It was on TV, and I watched anything that I could bet on. But there was like two options that I could bet on. I didn't know anything about it, so I passed on it. But you could only bet on like the over and under and like the outcome. And I don't,
the money
I don't
line.
Know enough about
yeah.
exactly, I don't know enough to make a stab at it, so I passed on it. But
honestly,
I did make an effort to look into it.
This league is so competitive, it's pointless to bet on it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the best you can do is over-under, but to pick the money line, it's suicide because these teams are just so competitive.
That's where the money's at. It's like the odds are hard to win, so it's good to bet on it if you know what you're talking about. So
yeah,
if
you truly want to win, it's just hard to pick these teams just because they're just so – the talent matches up so well that it's hard to really pick who's who. I mean, even going into this, I did my best ability to pick these teams, but in all reality, it's like the NFL. It's year to year. You don't know what these teams are going to do.
Oh, we know the Bengals are going to suck every year.
So, John, let's,
well, that's
okay,
just a
let's,
given.
Let's talk about the. Let's not change the subject, Matt. Let's talk about the Premier League. How are the Premier League teams? What do the standings look like for that first? And what are we looking at going into the tournament play? And then what are the expert standings looking up?
So the standings are the first place team are the Whipsnakes, which was Christina's pick. They are over the Archers based on goal differential. They have scored 18 more goals than they've had scored against, which is practically unheard of. They are just killing teams. So they're 3-0. The Archers are also 3-0 with four goals as a goal differential. The Chrome, they completed their group stage playing. They went 3-1 with a +5 goal differential. And I have to say they also won the chirping game. Matt Gaudette, the first game that they played, I have the audio if you wanted to play it, just talking so much smack towards the Chaos goalie, and it was hilarious if you want to hear that. The Redwoods were 1-2, but they're playing right now, and they're up 11-10 over the Atlas, who are also 1-2. The Water Dogs are 0-3. And the Chaos are also 0-3, but the Chaos are -10 goal differential. So they are at the bottom of the barrel. They are awful.
How about that? Imagine that. What are we looking
Imagine.
At for the experts? How do the experts
So the experts, Christina leads with 48 points with three games played. I am behind her with 34 points. Also, everybody has three games played. Matt has 6 points in three games played, but his team's currently leading. So if they win, he gets a he gets 10+ points. So that's good for him. And then there's Pete at the bottom with -10 because the Chaos can't seem to score.
Pete used to be in last.
Yeah, that's okay with me. I'm not hurt about that.
Nice guys finish last.
That's right. But I'm not surprised that Christina's leading. Christina seems to win everything.
No, she seems to figure out something just by pure luck.
You just throw the darts and stuff and it always sticks.
No, I
out
think
of
Christina
nowhere.
I think Christina secretly is a huge lacrosse fan and she knew what she was doing. I was convinced
Jack.
By that.
She knew that Zed Williams would come out of nowhere and score 10 goals for no reason at all.
Yeah, she.
And that's
she
a guy I never even heard of before this week. I didn't even know who he was.
Last week, dude. I got that guy's trading card.
I don't even think they actually have trading cards in lacrosse.
Oh.
To be perfectly honest, that's how low of a sport we are. We don't even get trading cards.
I do think it's funny that Christina is killing all of us in this league like Rambo.
And it's not even close.
And I only picked the team I picked because the guy's name is Rambo.
Rambo.
Wait, Pete, Christina, do you guys remember this? So I remember when Pete, he posted our point standings when John said as long as he's beating me. Remember it was like I was down by like a million.
Yes.
Do you guys? I wanted to refer Petra to use the Remember when Jeff Green was beating the Xfinity Series second place driver like halfway through the year by like 900 points?
No.
No.
That was I forget what year it was, but I recently saw a video on Twitter where he was talking about it, kind of reliving it. And that reminded me of Pete's comment. He was up by like 900 points halfway through the year on the Xfinity Series. Like that's unheard of.
That's probably back when the points was actually like decent points. But all right. Well, so what games are we looking at today, John? You said somebody's playing right now.
Yeah, the Redwoods and Atlas are playing right now. There's 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter on NBC. Hold on, I have to pull up the second game because I'm blanking on who. Redwood,
you're
up, Matt.
You're winning, Matt.
Feels good.
And then the Water Dogs and Chaos are after that game. And if Pete ever needs to desperately win a game, it's that one.
Now, are these the last two games of this style? Then we take what, a day off before the tournament?
No, there's one more. There's one more on Sunday, Archers and Whipsnakes. So me and Christina go head to head, or Christina and I, however English works.
That's okay. Huge.
That's going to be
huge.
A big game.
It's a huge game.
Huge.
Yeah, so Rambo can kill the archers, right? Yeah. See? Rambo's just going to come
I don't
and
know.
Annihilate
Grant,
all of you.
Grant, your Penn State guy is looking pretty good for a rookie. He leads the league in points. The kid is fantastic.
Yeah, but he's not playing for the team I picked.
Well, too bad. He's doing fantastic.
Anyone that goes to Penn State, God. Anyone that goes to Penn State, God. We all know that.
Okay, so they had the first game that the Archers played, it was a Penn State guy guarding a Penn State guy, and the Penn State guy absolutely humiliated the other Penn State guy, if you could follow what I was saying.
Sometimes when gods get in fights, some gods got to lose, other gods got to win.
God be God.
Valid point.
And they played together at Penn State, so if anybody knew how to guard Grant Ament, it was this guy, yet just got absolutely humiliated.
Everybody has an off day.
So did Blaze Reardon when he got absolutely trashed by Matt Gaudette, who said he just sucks.
Do you remember, what's his face?
Go ahead, Matt.
He played lacrosse at Penn State football at Monmouth.
Kevin Hogan. He was actually a pretty good player up at Penn State. I mean, he was actually a legitimate lacrosse player.
Yeah,
I mean, then again, that was when Penn State was kind of a mediocre program, and then that was kind of like the beginning of them becoming a good program. That was the early 2010s.
They've gotten good in everything since Mr. Pagula put a lot of money up there.
Well, once they got out of the shadow of Paterno, Paterno was a great coach, but it was all football all the time. But now that they've kind of diversified, it's really benefited them.
Watch the men's ice hockey team. Watch that. They are phenomenal.
I agree with that, but we've always been good with women's volleyball for like 40 years.
Sure.
Wrestling. Yeah. Wrestling is another one. There was a couple sports that were good, but it wasn't as like a broad range as it is now. I mean, everybody's good at Penn State.
You just wanted to get a shot in at Joe Pa. That's fine.
No, here's the thing. You want to know my opinion? Joe Pa's statue should still be up.
Oh, my God. You said something. Can we take a screenshot of this, Pete?
He should have 409 wins, and he should still have a statue up.
I respect you as a human being. Well, I usually do, but I love you, John.
Love you too, Matt.
I love you, John. But can we, because I out in the country, I'm going to lose you guys soon. Are we going to make our NASCAR picks?
Yeah,
make your NASCAR picks.
Or are we texting?
Do you want John to make his first?
Do you want to make them on air? I don't care. It's up to you, Pete. Your show.
Christina, we'll start with Christina. We'll do John. And then I'll make my pick, and then we'll get Matt's pick. So, Christina, NASCAR is at New Hampshire this weekend. They are racing tomorrow. Who are you taking, Christina, for New Hampshire?
I already told you guys this. Denny Hamlin. He likes the lobster.
All right, so we got Christina with Hamlin in Hampshire. All right.
Yes.
John, who are you going with at New Hampshire this weekend?
I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick.
Crap. All right. John is picking Kevin Harvick. Let's see. I'm trying to think who I want to take. I think, you know what? I think I'm going to go with William Byron this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to go with Byron. Yeah.
Okay.
I like William. I'm going to pick Billy Byron this weekend.
Starting on the
pool. Almirola again.
Who I picked last week, and look how good he did.
I believe Almirola is Hamlin.
Well, see, I'm not. I'm about to go point racing, and he hasn't had, not had a top 10 in how long. So I'm thinking about that, but I'm also tempted to take Matt DiBenedetto because he said this is one of his best tracks, and this is his best equipment.
All right, well, who do you want?
Sometimes in order to beat me, you must do things you hate.
What? Kevin Harvick's going to probably win the race, so I just don't see who's going to get closest.
Go for three in a row at New Hampshire.
He's really good at New Hampshire. Yeah, he's really good at New Hampshire. And Hamlin's really good there, too. You know what?
Do it, Matt. Just do it. You know,
go to the dark side. Do it.
You know I hate him.
I know
I strongly dislike him. Just highly dislike him.
What means more, beating me or your vendetta?
Yeah, see, wait, here's the issue with him. I think Eric's going to finish anywhere between, like, second, well, realistically, between fifth and 12th. I think Matt can finish anywhere between fifth and, like, 20th.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just gonna stay in the race for now. I'll take the 10. I'll take the 10. I'll keep floating.
All right, so Matty Ice is going with Eric Almirola, the pole sitter for this weekend. Is that correct?
I'm not feeling good about it, but I will take the Baconator.
Okay, so we got Christina. We got Christina with Hamlin. I'm taking Billy Byron. John's got Kevin Harvick, and Matt is going with the pole sitter, Eric Almirola, double A.
Wait, did you guys see the NASCAR New Hampshire? They recently posted today, like an hour ago on Twitter, like the lobster. I retweeted it, a picture of it. It said, never frozen, like straight from the sea. The interesting thing about that, the box it was in had a Chevy logo on it.
Really?
Does Pete know something?
Huh. Well, I guess we'll find out and see, won't we?
Yeah, it was just really weird that they had the audacity to brand the lobster or the lobster case.
Well, you know.
Vegas might know something that we don't know.
I guess we'll never know. All right, Matt, well, you enjoy the rest of your drive. You be safe and be careful. And then check in with us later there at Blanket Hill. Let us know how it's going.
Well, are you doing like you did the show at Lernerville where you're going on air from time to time?
I'm going to try, yes. I'm going to try and do as much Twitter and Facebook Lives as possible as well.
All right, well, I can, if you want, I can call in when you're on air and give you a live, like, update from the producer's box up in the booth, if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I'll text you and let you know when I plan on trying to go live, and we'll get you on.
All right. And, John, if I win today's match, I will officially be betting on my next match. Mark it down.
You won.
I will take your word for it.
All right. I won. All right, I'm betting on the next match. I'll send you guys a screenshot of my bet.
All right.
All right. You guys have a good day. Be safe. And I'll check in with all y'all on that soon.
All right. Be careful. We love you.
All right. Don't sound so depressed. I'm going to call you later. My God. All right. Bye.
He's a little angry.
Oh, shoot. All right. So John, what do you like about the Premier League from this year? And how's it going? Are you impressed with the style of play? Is it what are your thoughts so far from the games this year?
It seems a lot more defensive, like the defenses are actually getting a hold of things, unlike last year where just the offenses are so powerful they just didn't know what to do. But it seems like there's actually good defensive lacrosse. It's the difference between pro lacrosse and any other level is that these guys don't practice as much, so you can't get into 6-on-6 sets and actually run plays. These guys are – they usually run transition or it's off a face-off or something like that. But I think because of the training camp, you've actually been able to see some set plays and some set things. Just nice to see us, younger lacrosse player who actually wants to see professional guys just play lacrosse in a 6-on-6 set. I really love the production quality of the NBC, of what NBC is doing. The only thing is that I'm afraid that we'll get them in trouble is that the hot mics, I mean, these things are, these guys are cussing guys out. They're, you know, it's big time, which isn't a bad thing. It's just, I'm afraid that NBC is going to get in trouble for trying to broadcast lacrosse and really get guys into, you know, get into the minds of players. But the cool thing is that they'll pick a couple players every game and they'll mic them up and then put radios in their helmets, and they'll just talk to the guys while they're on the field. I mean, that's probably one of the coolest parts about this championship series is that they've grown on that from last year. I mean, it was a thing last year, but this year it's really exploded just because they don't have to worry about any sort of fan interference or something like that. It's very cool that they're able to do that.
And do you have any players from the league that has so far from you, whether it's defense, offense, goalies, you know, anybody that has stood up and become a dominant player that has surprised you, or is there a guy that stands out to really player he has kind of, you know, dropped the ball per se and hasn't really lived up to maybe a hype?
Hey, Grant Amon, I mentioned him earlier. The rookie out of Penn State for the Archers has played amazing. Zed Williams, who came over from the other league, the MLL, has gone off for 10 goals already. Also, Brian Costabile, the second pick in the draft, has done really well. I'd say the biggest disappointment has to be Paul Rabel, who's the founder of the league. He, at one point, I think he was 0 for 18 in shots, and they just kept giving him the ball, and he kept disappointing, and then he finally scored one, but it was a cheap goal. It wasn't anything that he would have done with any sort of talent. It was just pure luck. So I think he's just been a big disappointment, and you hate to see it because he was a star lacrosse for 15 years, and now he's just kind of fallen off the face of the earth. I mean, the issue with him is that I think he's slowly transitioning more into off-field. He's getting up into his mid-30s, and with this league, I don't think he'll be able to compete for much longer, which is sad, but, I mean, that's something that you just have to look out for. Joe Nardella, he's done really well. He's won 78% of his face-offs. He's a guy that went to Cazenovia High School, where my dad's buddy coaches, and that's how I kind of got into lacrosse through him, and kind of an interesting connection there. I mean, the goalies have played surprisingly really well. One guy that I really like is Matt Gaudette. He's a rookie from Yale. He got traded from the Chaos to the Chrome. And that I keep mentioning the clip that he had, but he's had a really good game his first game. And what he proceeded to do was humiliate the goalie and say that he sucks. And hopefully that this works. I'm going to play the audio, but it's a pretty funny clip that he actually did. So let's hope that this works.
Yeah, Matt, we just listened to a bunch of stuff. It seems like you guys feel like you got reared in summer, to say the least. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, Reardon just sucks, honestly, so I'm not sure exactly what to tell you, but he's definitely having a tough day, but this isn't anything new.
Yeah, he completely just stood next to the goalie and said that he sucks. He proceeded the next game to get crushed in front of the crease by the Redwoods and caused the Apple to get suspended because he laid a cheap shot on him and all this stuff, and it's fun to see in, you know, the short sprint of a season, these guys just really getting hot-headed and, you know, playing tough lacrosse. So it's been good all the way around. I wouldn't have traded it for anything. It certainly is the best lacrosse in the world, and that's why I wanted to, you know, I've been pressing so hard for this league. I mean, respect to the other league, there's a lot of talent in that league, but this one is just complete lacrosse teams. It's not just one guy running the ball. I mean, it's truly complete professional lacrosse.
Yeah, and that clip you just played, he was standing right next to the guy, too, when he said that, didn't he?
Yeah, he was standing right there holding his helmet like, yeah, he sucks. I mean, this is nothing new. It's just so nonchalantly. And there's other clips where he just was acting like the Joker, like he was laughing, and he was such. I've never seen a guy so cocky. It's so early in his career, but and everybody in lacrosse Twitter was all complaining about him. Like, what's wrong with this? I mean, I've heard so much worse while on the field. I mean, it's nothing new.
It sounds like these guys are having a good time.
I mean, yeah, they're sitting around playing lacrosse in Utah, and they're getting paid for it. I don't see why they would not have a good time.
Right. So are there any, before we break away from lacrosse, are there any other takes that you have to take away from this league so far and what we have to look forward to for the tournament style that's coming up here?
I think if this championship game is at the level of what these group play games are at, if these guys aren't tired by then, and if you get the right teams in there, you will have one of the most athletic, amazing championships you'll ever see. Last year was great. Last year was great. Last year was amazing. But the way that these guys have just sold it on every single play and in such a short sprint, especially with what all these guys have gone through, because some of them are college coaches, so they watch guys their career end. Some of them are also high school coaches. They've seen the outside world and what's going on. I mean, these guys are motivated, and it's amazing to see, especially with what the lacrosse world has gone through with the Iroquois national team and everything. It's the importance of this tournament for lacrosse was amazing in the first place, but now with everything surrounding it, the champion will probably be one of the greatest sprint champions of all time. I mean, it truly was one of the hardest championships to win.
And before we completely break away, now that you've watched these games, have you changed your mind on who you think can win it all? Since you rated these teams before the tournament started, before the group play and everything started, how much have you adjusted now your thoughts on that, and who do you think can win?
I think the Whipsnakes and Archers are certainly teams that are certainly still the competitors. I still think the Archers are the best team. They just had better opponents than the Whipsnakes have had. The Whipsnakes are really good, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Redwoods make a push in the playoffs because everybody makes the elimination round. It's just the seeding that's being determined. And I think the Chrome are actually true contenders because their defense is much better than it was last year. So if those teams can hold it together, you have a solid top four. I think the bottom three are just, you know, they're just gonna be there in the bottom three. They're not going to really surprise anybody. But I think the Atlas have a lot of potential going into the future. The Chaos, I can't really tell. They're a very solid team. They play really good at times. They just kind of fall apart. That's the biggest issue that they have. And then the Water Dogs, I mean, they're an expansion team. I mean, they're doing very well for themselves for being a first-year team, but we'll just have to see how that develops and what they can get in the draft. I mean, they're certainly a competitive team, so I think they'll be good down the road. But I think those top four are certainly going to run the league for the next coming years. Just the Redwoods being able to win in the postseason. The Whipsnakes are the Whipsnakes. They've won a championship. They know what that's like. The Archers are such a solid team. They've got two guys that can really lead the offense, and they got a solid defense. So I think, you know, the future of those top four teams is really good and really set now, but they can also win this championship this year.
Well, we will definitely be watching the champion here very soon. So we will keep an eye on it. Obviously, you are following it very closely with the expert pick 'em points and following the group play and the tournament play that will be coming up here in the next few days. So I can't wait to see who wins it all. And next Saturday, when we come on the air, we'll have a better understanding of what it looks like. So, John, thanks for keeping up with it. and keeping us all updated on the Premier League lacrosse tournament that's going on right now. You said that is the next game going to be on NBC, NBCSN, on the app?
It's supposed to be on the app on NBC Gold at, I think, 4, but I'm not quite sure on that. I just know that it's in the same time frame as my game.
Okay.
That I'm playing today. So.
Okay. Well, good luck on your game today. Be safe. Hope you have a great game. It's going to be, you said this is your last game for 2020. So hopefully you have a good game. And that guy that got hurt, how's he doing? Is he doing okay?
From what we know, he's just doing fine. I mean, at this point, all he can really do is just wait to get surgery and just recover. I mean, it for him, he's doing okay. I mean, for where he's at, but he hasn't really said much since the injury, but he's doing good.
Well, good. We'll check in with you later. Let us know how it went, and we'll definitely be back on air next day with you, on an update on everything that is lacrosse. And if you get a chance later tonight and you hear that we're online, go ahead and swing by and give us a call and check in with us.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, everybody. I will talk to you all later.
Have a good one. All right. That was our intern, John. We have steam. We're going to come back. We're going to take just a quick 60-second break. When we come back, we will talk about NASCAR coming up this weekend. They are at New Hampshire. We'll talk to Christina about that. And we'll break down a little bit more World of Outlaws stuff. And then we will get ready to hit the social media. Be sure to follow all of us on social media. You can find it there in the description of the show, all of our Twitter handles. And also be sure to like us on Facebook. We'll be coming to you guys live all night from Twitter and Facebook. So keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick break.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man.
All right, welcome back. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Ultralight Railway Brake Sticks. Also, we have the Barbasol Shave phone lines open for just about another half hour or so. So if you, if you're on your way to Wayne County Speedway and you want to call in real quick, give us a shout-out, do that. The number to call is 657-383-1903. Let Christina and I know that you're on your way to watch the World of Outlaws live from Wayne County Speedway. We're going to be here all night. The sun is out and it's bright. So hoping that the sunshine keeps the rain away. And maybe the tractor equipment that's on the track right now, maybe that vortex theory, Christina, will come into effect and keep the rain away. I'm doing everything I can to be positive about tonight because I do not want this rain to come in at all.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want the rain either to spoil the return of the World Outlaws to Wayne County Speedway. So hopefully it stays away, and you guys get a good showing.
I'm looking out at the grandstands here. They're starting to. We got a lot of people coming in and getting their seats for the night. Also looking out behind our mobile 357 Woodwork Studios and. There's quite a long line out there waiting to get in, so there's a lot of people here tonight to watch the World of Outlaws. They have not been at Wayne County Speedway since 1985, That is 35 years since the last time they were here. So I think a lot of people are excited to see the World of Outlaws. And there's a lot of Sheldon Haudenschild fans here tonight, so I'm sure they want to see the homeboy maybe get a win tonight here at Wayne County Speedway. But before we talk any more about the World of Outlaws, Christina, the NASCAR Cup Series is at New Hampshire Sunday, tomorrow afternoon. Looking to see, we haven't been NASCAR racing since last Thursday at Kansas, so these drivers haven't been in a car for quite a while. What are you looking for New Hampshire?
Hopefully it's not boring. I mean, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see if tempers flare at all or if we have good, clean racing. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, they've had a good bit of days off. But, you know, today's actually the first day of the return of the NHL, too. So I got to watch one game already and saw some rust being, you know, I guess kind of thrown off, but we'll see how the NASCAR guys do. I do know that it's getting closer to the end of the year, the end of the regular season, so these wins are going to be more important than ever, especially this year.
Yes, and for Sunday's race at New Hampshire, Eric Almirola and Denny Hamlin both will be on the front row to lead the drivers to green. Second row behind them will have Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Clint Bowyer make up row three, Kevin Harvick, Alex Bowman, row four, and Joey Logano and Kurt Busch round out the top 10 starters for this race Sunday. It's going to be a good race. It's the 28th annual Foxwoods Resort Casino 301 from New Hampshire Motor Speedway. So I'm looking forward to that. Of course, there's no qualifying, there's no practice or anything. So it's going to be interesting when these guys get the green flag and head off into turn one. We'll see who can make it cleanly through the turns. And hopefully, like you said, it's not too boring of a race like it was last week at Kansas. That got a little dull there for a while.
I don't like midday races that are boring, so they need to keep my attention a little better with those races.
Well, we'll see how they do. And of course, yes, you brought up the NHL. The NHL is back, and I believe we had a few, we'll call it quote unquote preseason or warm up games the last couple days. But tonight starts the official return for the season,
well, it
right?
At 12.
Okay,
so
it's 12
we already got one game in the books. The second game is actually about to get underway now because the Premier Lacrosse League actually had to rework some of their scheduling and stuff because of the NHL returning. So the folks that watch the lacrosse game, if you're still watching NBC, now you're going to watch hockey. You know, so that's cool. Today, you know, is official playoff. The beginning of the round robin best of five series, and the two teams today, this morning, which would have been the Rangers and the Hurricanes, put on a heck of a show. We had 61 seconds into the return of the NHL actual play, not exhibition, we had a goal. Our first goal back is 61 seconds back into the start, and then within the first 3 minutes we had our first fight back. So all is well with hockey. And for those that are going to ask, did anybody kneel? No. Nobody
Good.
Did. Nobody in that game kneeled during the national anthem or anything like that. They're honoring players and, you know, the end of racism in a certain different way. They're all in a circle. Nobody's kneeling, you know, because the two teams that are playing, getting ready to play now, they have players of color, but everybody is doing it in a different way, and hockey is doing it, I think, in one of the most respectful ways, so nobody's kneeled. I don't know what's going to happen after this, but, I mean, so far, they've done it and, you know, bringing light to it, but doing it in a respectful way, which is cool to see. And it's one of the only sports where people have it now.
So. Well, I know that you are super excited to have the NHL back. So I know that you are definitely excited to see some NHL hockey tonight and it get started back up. So that's a good thing. So explain real quick to some of the people, how is the NHL doing this then starting today? What are we doing as far as getting teams in the tournament and crowning an NHL champion for 2020?
So what happens is the games that are on today, actually, let me double check myself before I say this. Yeah. All the teams playing today in the first round are in their round robin qualifiers. So these are teams that are not 1 through 4 in the East or the West. These are 5 through 12 or 5 through whatever. 12. So there's, you know, going at it in a 5-game series. With the best of 5 rounds. And that'll determine who's going to face off against the next set of teams, which will be tomorrow's game, are going to be the top. Well, some of the top teams are going to go at it. So you're going to see the Flyers and the Bruins, which they're in a round robin to determine the 1 through 4 seeding in the second round. So they're going to play like one game, maybe one or two. It's nothing of, you know, you're not going to have more than one game between these guys right now. They're going to determine the 1 through 4 and wait to see what else happens. And then after all that, they're going to do like they normally would do. And from there, it's going to be an interesting way of how hockey goes. But I like the play that they're doing now and standing up for what, you know, it's going to be a great return to the sport. So far, so good. The games have been amazing. And, you know, we'll see how this next game is. It's going to be Edmonton versus Chicago. And we're all in a bubble. For those that don't understand, don't know what I mean, the NHL is in a bubble. all the players, everyone that had to be involved is in a bubble. They didn't have any contact with anybody. And they all were tested. 800 people were tested, and not a single positive, which is good. So the NHL is playing in 2 host cities, which are all in Canada. One is in Edmonton. The West is playing in Edmonton, and the East is playing in Toronto. So,
nice.
And that's how it's going to work.
All right. Well, that's great. And, again, glad that the NHL is back and that we can have some sort of playoffs and that we can crown a 2020 NHL champion. That'll be exciting to watch that and see how that all goes. So, and I'm sure that that you'll be watching it very closely because the NHL is a sport very close to your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. But besides racing, this would be my second love of the game. And, you know, it's cool to see it back and not having the issues like the MLB is having. So thank God for that. We don't have those issues yet.
Yes. Also, places where we won't be having issues and hopefully no rain is right here. We are live from Wayne County Speedway on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Ultralight Railway Brake Sticks. Christina, the pits are filling up. Right out the back of the studio window here, I can see Brad Sweet's back there. So that's exciting to see that. Carson is right next to him. And then we also have, it looks like maybe Mason Daniel is next to next to Brad Sweet as well. So let's talk about the World of Outlaws real quick. We'll kind of get this wrapped up. They are here tonight at Wayne County Speedway, the first time since 1985 that the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars are here. And looking at the storylines to note, of course, when we left off last Saturday, it was the Champion Racing Oil Summer Nationals at Williams Grove, July 24th and the 25th. We saw Shane Stewart win the first night. And David Gravel, he scores his third Nationals champion from last week. And it also moves him up to sixth in the points now, Christina, with those three wins. But the biggest storyline of all of that from last weekend is Mr. Brad Sweet taking back over the top spot in the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series. And he's got 7 wins on the year. Mr. Man on Fire, we'll see. Maybe we'll see him in victory lane tonight here at Wayne County Speedway.
It's going to be an interesting way of how this works out for them tonight because, well, a lot of them have never raced on this track. We know Sheldon has. He's probably one of the only ones with experience, you know, from the Outlaws per se. So we'll see how this goes. And, so you talked about it, David Gravel winning Summer Nationals. They stuck around in Pennsylvania, though, afterwards because, well, the World of Outlaws had a little bit of a break before coming back to the action. So he stayed around and ended up winning the midweek race at Lincoln Speedway as well recently. So he's on a tear himself, and who knows? Who knows? We could see him, you know, tearing it up here soon.
Well, let's hope not. he's a pretty good driver. On the dirt. Let's talk, because we're going to talk about the sprints all night. Let's kind of move over to the World of Outlaw models. Them, and there was several drivers that run full-time for the World of Outlaw late models that kind of crossed over and ran with the Lucas Oil late models. Also, when we left off, we were talking about up at I-80 Speedway. It was the Silver Dollar Nationals. And we saw a World of Outlaw driver win that one and beat some of those other Lucas Oil drivers. And that would be, of course, another man who is on fire on dirt, and that is Brandon Shepherd. He scores his first career Silver Dollar National win. And, of course, he's also in first in the points. But that was a $53,000 to win payout for that race. As far as the Lucas Oil late models go, Jimmy Owens, he still has a sizable lead, 300 points to be precise, over Jonathan Davenport. So Brandon Shepherd kind of going up there and winning at I-80 Speedway and winning that Silver Dollar National win.
Yeah, and the biggest note of that is the fact that it was his first win. That was his first, Silver Dollar win there, which is kind of shocking to see, that. I would have expected him to have another one. So, but they're in, now the Lucas Oil guys are in a bit of a break. So we'll see if any of these guys cross over, which I know they have. So are crossing over now and running with the Outlaws. So we'll see if they can take some money away from, Brandon Shepherd, considering he's on a tear and, proclaiming himself as the best in the world.
And I apologize because I did not click on the late models before I got here, but I do know that they are at Kokomo Speedway. They were there last night. They got in for the Hoosier Dirt Shootout, and night two of that is tonight. So they will be running at Kokomo Speedway there in Indiana for night two of the Hoosier Dirt Shootout. Who won last night, Christina? Because I'm such a goof and didn't look.
I haven't pulled up. I know that they moved times and stuff were altered for tonight, so it is going to start it. But, there was two different winners last night because, both showed that they had two showdowns going in for tonight, and Brandon Shepherd wins one of them. No shocker there. And in the first feature, Jimmy Owens won as well. So, the two guys that are winning everything in the late model division in the Premier Series won last night over at Kokomo anyway. So Jimmy Owens won showdown feature number one, where he started second. So he he didn't have far to go. And then Brandon Shepard, who started third in showdown feature number two, ended up winning that. And these guys that are chasing Brandon Shepard for the wins, they really need to find speed and get somehow get back into this, because Ricky Weiss finished 13th. That's not a good way to – not good for them at all. That team needs to find, you know, their rabbit's foot or something to get back in this. And then you got Cade Dillard, who finished third, but, I mean, he's still got to find a way to get that top spot away from some other people. And other notables out there running, Rick Eckert, who we all know in Pennsylvania very well, he's out there. Bobby Pierce, Scott Bloomquist, which, you know, if he's not cheating, he's not winning. Daryl Lanigan is out there, as is Mike Millar. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys out there at Kokomo. And just a reminder, the folks, times have been altered for today. So, bingo, bingo, get it done, because 4:30 is going to start the showdown for the World of Outlaw Morton Building late models.
All right. And, yeah, looking at the points for the World of Outlaw Late Model Series, Brandon Shepard, obviously, in first. He's got 11 wins. He's got a 214-point gap over Mr. Ricky Weiss, who has two wins on the year as well. Number three, third place, Daryl Lanigan. He's got a win on the year. Fourth place is that Mr. Cade Dillard. And fifth place, Chase Junigans. He does not have a win yet on the year, but he is 334 points back. So, yeah, Mr. Brandon Shepard, the reigning champion of the World of Outlaw Morton Building Late Model Series, has a sizable lead right now in the points.
Yeah, he's going to have that sizable lead unless somebody can find a way to give him the bad luck or you know, find some ways to win. Ricky Weiss really needs a win. I feel like his momentum has stopped. He was doing very well. I know he's a rookie and everything, but he's having a pretty decent showing for being new to the sport, the series. But he's got to find a win. Kokomo has got, he's got to find the mojo early to make up for lost ground from last night.
Well, we will be keeping an eye on that. And, of course, all night tonight, Christina, we are coming to everybody live on Facebook and Twitter right here from Wayne County Speedway. The World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars have invaded Wayne County here at the historical Orville Oval. Woo, that's a mouthful. Here at Wayne County Speedway, they are still prepping the track, getting stuff ready. We've got haulers pulling in. We've got people lining the driveway to get in the gates. Lots of people already in getting their seats. It's not as sunny, but we're hoping that the rain holds off and that we get all of the racing in tonight.
Well, let's hope so. Fingers crossed that it is going to happen that way for you guys. I know it's raining here.
The
rain has returned.
You keep it down there. So, all right.
Yeah, I think my kind of rain is different, though. this is rain that a lot of people don't want. But, you know, it happens. So it is what it is. And a quick update for the NHL fans. Edmonton, who is in the playoffs, and a host city. Granted, there's no fans in the stands. They have magically made a loop tape or something where you get crowd noise and stuff. It's still a little weird and eerie. Not going to lie. It's a little weird. But we have a power play goal already in this game. And it was Edmonton's first shot on goal. And it came from Connor McDavid. No shocker. So Edmonton is winning the game they're playing right now. Minus the crowd. So I don't know if there's any home ice advantage. But, yeah, so that's what's going on there. But it's really weird. If you guys get a chance, Pete, if you do sometime during the week or something to, you know, see one of these games, or maybe tomorrow before NASCAR, there's no fans, but there is crowd noise. So it's awkward. That, it's really weird.
That would definitely be weird. So, all right, Christina, we're going to hop off here. We're going to go make our rounds, see who all is here. I got to get checked in at the official pit gate to get my official wristband since I snuck in before everything was open to get everything set up for this show. So I'm going to head down there, get my wristband. I'm going to check out the pit, see who all is here. Maybe try and do some Facebook or Twitter lives. Maybe I'll even get an interview with a driver before they get ready to start working on their cars. So, Christina, we'll check in with you throughout the day. You be safe down there. Let us know how you're doing throughout the night, and we'll check in with you, and we'll let you know how things are going here at Wayne County Speedway.
Sounds good. Get those interviews in and say hi to all our friends. And peace out, everyone. Enjoy. Watch some racing. Watch some hockey. Do both. I know everybody's got social media and a phone, a smartphone, so you can do both. But enjoy,
yes.
Pete. Have a great night. Enjoy your first World Outlaws race, too. I'm glad you're finally getting there.
Yeah, I just hope the rain holds off so we can get it in. So, Christina, thank you for coming on today. I know it was a little bit later than normal, but we'll talk to you here in a little bit.
Sounds good. Enjoy. Peace out, everyone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have stuck with us. I know 2 hours for me seems to go by very fast when I do a show. I hope you all enjoyed the show. We had John with us. We even had Matt come back on the show with us on his so that was great to hear from him. And as always, Christina joined me for Talking Dirty like she does every Saturday. So hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to like us on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter. We'll be coming to you guys live from both social media platforms all night. We'll even try and hop on the Slicks and Sticks radio network a little bit later. So watch our social medias for that as well. I'm hoping the rain stays away. I hope we get in a full night of racing here with the World of Outlaws. I'm excited to catch them and see them live in person. So it's going to be great as long as the rain holds off. So thank you for tuning in. Be sure to like all of our sponsors as well. Thank you to 357 Woodworks for our mobile video today. Brake Sticks for making it possible for us to come to you live today from Wayne County Speedway. Barbasol, as always, for sponsoring our phone lines and all the other great people that make this show happen. I thank everybody for that. And thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in today. Hope you guys enjoyed it as well. So for Matt, for John, for Christina, of course, I'm your host, Pete. Until we talk to you in just a little bit, have a great rest of your day. See ya!